Welcome back to Farm Talk. I'm News and Farm Director Eric Johnson. It is a Friday. It's later in the day. I'm ready to be heading out the door, and it's a good time to be visiting with our friend Doug Lear from the North Dakota Game and Fish, biologist there. And Doug, it's been hot. It's supposed to be cooling off this weekend, but how has it been affecting with these hot temperatures and the drought conditions? How has that been affecting fishing in North Dakota, and I guess even hunting like ducks and such?
Yeah, it's everything across the board. And really, when you look at whether it's a drought, whether it's excessive moisture, it impacts the livestock, it impacts the crops. And from my work, from a game and fish standpoint, we've got different types of crops, different types of livestock that are being impacted. And the drought across the board from Williston to Wahpeton, whether it's, you know, been significant all along, whether they've gotten an inch of rain or unfortunately some spots in between with 6 inches plus and hail and everything else. I mean, the wildlife feels the same thing. And I'll start off with what we call probably like the crop. And that's our habitat. And we need habitat to grow pheasants, to grow deer. We need to have that grassland. So when there's a drought and the grasslands are struggling, whether it's your cattle's pasture or your hay fields, so are the pheasants and so are the deer. Same thing in a little different token when we talk about the habitat for the fish. Yeah, they've got, you know, the Devil's Lake is not going dry. Lake Sakakawea is not drying up. But when you go into some of the really more recent popular smaller lakes and sloughs that have been kicking out walleye and pike and perch for the better part of, you know, of 30 years, those smaller sloughs need to have an influx of fresh water, just like your livestock. Yeah, they've got their stock ponds and their sloughs, but they need to have that fresh water influx, and that's really what brings that productivity every spring. And without that, we don't lose all of our fish habitat at the snap of a finger. It's not like a prairie fire destroys the fishery habitat, but what it does is it starts to kind of degradate the aquatic habitat, the food source that those fish rely on. So we don't see like the immediate impacts of a drought as you see whether it's a crop burning up or not getting the moisture that they have. You know, I was listening on Wednesday, and you were talking to, I think it was Ted down in Enderlin, and having to replant three times. Well, in a similar way, the upland game, pheasants can re-nest, ducks can re-nest, but it kind of follows a similar pattern where you can pull a crop off, but it's not going to be as productive. A pheasant nest, re-nest a second time or a third time in late July or into August isn't going to have the bushels, for lack of a better. They're not going to lay as many eggs. They're not going to be as successful. Those pheasant chicks, they're going to be the runts. They're going to be, you know, a couple of months behind, just like a replant on soybeans or another crop. They're going to be behind. So it's not optimal. I'll tell you in a long story longer is where we sit at on the middle of June is kind of teetering on the edge. We're thankful many places have gotten a little bit of moisture and a little bit of precipitation, but the same, you know, thing that you're hearing from the farmers and ranchers, it might be in some instances a little bit too little, too late to tell you the honest truth, Eric.
All right. A couple of questions off of this. One is, I got a cute picture, but it made me think a little bit from a friend down in South Dakota who farms and out in a cornfield. There was a fawn, not really tiny, but I don't know, I would say the teenage years, I guess, of a fawn. But that fawn was laying down in the black dirt, and it looked like it was gassed and needed a shower in a bad way. So I started thinking about water and different things. How traumatic is it, you know, for these fawns and things like that, animals like that, when they're younger and you're sitting there in a black field where it's, you know, 126 degrees temperature, like right at the surface level, but it's just hot, hot, hot. Does it take its toll on them? I mean, does it put them into exhaustion? Do they just hide, or how does that work out?
I mean, I try to, you know, keep myself in pretty good shape, and I try to eat right and to try to stay hydrated. And I go out for a walk after supper, and when the air temperature is 95 degrees or 100 degrees and the dew point and the humidity, I'm stressed at a walk around a block, Eric.
Right.
It's no different with the deer and the wildlife. In some cases, there can be direct mortality. And, you know, obviously, if you know somebody that has heat stroke and has a heart attack, it's very significant and unfortunate. We understand in the wildlife world, it's more of the, you know, just the cycle of nature, and it happens. The fawn that you put the spotlight on is also not only going to be stressed by the heat, it's going to have that struggle of growth. It's not going to have the, you know, when you talk to a rancher, it's not going to gain the weight that it needs as rapidly as it should to survive. And you combine that when you say, you know, when you tell me like a fallowed field or black dirt, or even if it's just really short pasture grass or a stunted hay field, they're even more susceptible to predators like coyotes. They can find them a lot easier, and they don't have as much energy and strength to fight them off. So it's again, you know, I always put things into that context. We totally understand that, you know, the cattle and the grains and the crops are people's livelihood. So when we talk about the loss of a fawn or the, you know, the struggles for pheasants, we understand in the context it's not nearly as significant. But my job is about hunting and fishing, and a lot of those farmers and ranchers, when they get the fence fixed or they get done spraying and they've been, you know, struggling with life issues themselves, they want to get outdoors. They want to go fishing and catch some fish to get away from it all. In the fall, when they get the crop off, they want to go out pheasant hunting and go out deer hunting, and we set the table in June. And if we don't have a solid production of deer, of pheasant chicks in June, we're not going to see the product, the groceries out there in the fall when the hunters want to go out there. And so the deer are going to struggle. On the other side of it, the pheasant chicks, the sharp-tailed grouse, any of the upland game species, their first few weeks are really kind of at the will of needing to have some insects out there.
Right.
And if you don't have the moisture and the rain, then you don't have the insects. They don't have anything to eat, and you're going to see mortality from that. I'm not trying to be, you know, a doom and gloom kind of guy. I'm just dealing with the facts, and it's the, you know, same thing you hear when the markets are struggling. You know, you can't shoot the messenger, and we don't want to sugarcoat it and blow smoke up your kilt. It's really not a good situation for a lot of, especially for deer and for pheasants. And the thing, you know, when you allude to like the fisheries, the fish are still out there, but you start to see that stress. You could possibly see maybe some summer kills, and then you don't have the strong recruitment going towards next year to try to get that production. So there's a lot of struggles across all fish and wildlife.
Tell you the fishing cycle that I usually go on every year. It's like, you know, we got the fishing opener, although North Dakota fishing is always open, but on the Minnesota side where I normally fishing opener,
mm-hmm.
I don't usually go that right away because it's still, the water's usually cold. A lot of times the fish are in the spawn cycle and all that. So I usually wait till the beginning of June, but folks I've been talking to down in the lakes area, and they can correct me if I'm wrong, but they said just because of the wild temperatures and all the swings, fishing just hasn't been that great. And now all of a sudden we went from cool to snowy to 100 degrees, and I'm just wondering what the water temperature, what that's going to affect or how that affects the fish. And then the other part is, great, algae and weed season's going to be coming quicker.
Yeah, right. The weed growth has been phenomenal. You talk about that in a drought and pasture and in cropland, and unfortunately about the only thing that grows in a drought is weeds, and we've been seeing just amazing vegetation growth in a lot of our lakes and sloughs. So you take a picture of a, you know, Minnesota lakes may not fluctuate as much as our North Dakota lakes, where we have reservoirs that need to have that runoff coming into it. Take some of the smaller lakes and sloughs around North Dakota, and you combine the lower water levels, some places down a foot to 2 feet, and then you combine the hot temperatures and the weed growth, you have, you know, weed growth that looks like it should, you know, maybe be the end of July or the early part of August. So it makes it almost like if you want to go out and catch fish, it doesn't matter as much what the calendar says as what the water temperature and the structure says. And, you know, we've got weed growth. There's people that are fishing like it's the middle of July. And if you want to catch fish, you're heading to the deep. Yeah. And, the water temperature is 70 degrees plus is not, you know, uncommon right now. You go to the Red River and you look at that. And, you know, even though we've had some moisture and they've had more moisture down in the Southern Valley, you know, throughout spring and into early summer than a lot of other places, the river still looks like it should be almost fall, and the fish are still there. The warm temperatures slows down the fish. They're not as active, just like you and I. You know, the middle of the day and it's 100 degrees, we're not going to be as active, and neither are the fish, to tell you. That's the honest truth. We're not the only ones slowing down, Eric.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to take a quick break here. We're getting to the end of our first break. Got a time crunch here, so we're going to skip this over, talk a little bit more fishing when we come back with our second segment with Doug Lear, North Dakota Game and Fish Biologist. We'll be back with more Farm Talk in just a moment.